Well, if you need your faith in our system restored, I've got just the guest for you this next half hour. It is an incredible privilege and honor to be joined by two former federal appeals court judges. I'm going to introduce them in just one moment. But if you've been listening to us, you know that we have just kicked off Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold multi-state text to win contest, where texting in the word of the hour will get you qualified to win one of two daily prizes and our grand prize. The daily prizes are $200 in cold hard cash or gold jewelry, and our grand prize, which will give away one lucky winner to one lucky winner, is two club level seats to Green Bay versus Minnesota. Yeah, it's going to be cold. That's why you like those indoor club level seats. That game is on November 23rd, 2025 at 12 p.m., plus a gas card to get you to the game. And the word to win this hour is gift, as in Civic Media wants you to win this contest and enjoy our gift, G-I-F-T. Good luck to everyone, and I'll be repeating that in just a few more minutes. With all of that business out of the way, did you know 1 week ago today was Constitution Day? My two guests certainly did. It is my humble privilege to bring on former District Court and Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals Judge John Tinder. He was appointed to the District Court by Ronald Reagan in 87 and to the Appeals Court by President Bush, the original Bush, the first one, Herbert Walker, in 1992. No, He was joined, I'm sorry, Judge Wood, did you want to correct me? Was I getting something wrong?
I think it was the younger.
Was it the younger? 92. Time is but a slipstream now, judges, and thank you so much for correcting me. Not Herbert Walker, GW. Thank you, Judge Wood. And you just heard her voice there. That is Circuit Court, Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, former Judge Diane Wood. Welcome to you both. Thank you for being here.
Great to be here.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you.
So you both, as well as nearly 38 other former federal court judges, have signed a letter trying to reinvigorate the public's awareness of the moment that we're in and the importance of an independent judiciary. You did this through your relationship with the Keep Our Republic organization, which was founded in 2020. It's a nonpartisan civic education organization committed to the vitality of America's democracy by promoting trust in elections, the rule of law, and constitutional checks and balances. It sounds real hoity-toity, but we are in a very literally tipping point moment, I think, especially when it comes to respect for the courts and the independence of the judiciary. Let me start with you, Judge Tinder. Why did you want to become part of the Article 3 coalition with Keep Our Republic? Why now? What do you think is at stake, sir?
Well, I know that my working colleagues that are still on the bench, their hands are tied, and the litigating forces have turned the spotlight on what judges are doing in all of these ways to which they can't respond. The internet, these comments that are being made after rulings are made, requests for impeachment, and so on and so forth. And these judges are just trying to do their job. And I know they can't speak because, like Diane, I had my First Amendment rights put on hold for the entire time I served, but they're back now. And these judges need support. They need to have someone speak for them because they can't speak for themselves. Plus, I saw all of the others, like Diane and Danelle Taha and Tim Evans and all of these wonderful people that I have such great regard for joining this Article 3 coalition. And I thought, that's something I want to be a part of. So that's why I did.
Yeah, thank you, Judge. And again, this Article 3 coalition, part of the Keep Our Republic, has got at least, at my last count, 40 retired judges appointed by six different presidents across both parties, Carter, Reagan, H.W., Clinton, G.W., and President Obama. And Judge Wood, you were appointed by President Bill Clinton back in 1995. Why did you feel it was important to publish this open letter on Constitution Day? Where does this moment sit in your mind in terms of both respect for the courts, but also more broadly, the rule of law? And why do you think that's important to Jane and John Doakes here in Wisconsin? Why does this matter to regular people?
Well, it's a great question, but I think I would start by saying that this letter gave John and me an opportunity, and actually the other people in the Article 3 coalition, to take the veil away a little bit, to show people what the judges are really doing, why it matters to them. If you were to ask somebody if, you know, maybe they were contesting their taxes or they had a dispute over whether their insurance policy was going to cover their house or not if it blew away in a tornado, or any of a thousand real things that happen to real people, you want confidence in the people who are resolving those disputes. You want them to listen to the facts of what happened. You want them to be well-versed in the law and to apply that law in a nonpartisan way. You know, you leave your partisan views at the door when you walk into the courthouse. And I think that message has not been coming through as effectively as I would like to see it in the general media. Instead, you know, there are people who think, you know, if Donald Trump appointed you, then there's a whole set of things that you're going to do. And if Bill Clinton appointed you, there's somewhat a different set of things. If you look at the actual record of the judges who are on the courts, that is just not the way it works. I won't say, you know, we're all human, right? And we come with whatever our predispositions are, but then there's a process. You know, you listen to people, you read briefs, you listen to arguments, you talk to your colleagues, and you find some middle ground. And I think that the public would actually be thrilled to know that the courts work as well as they do. I'm not going to say there's never a glitch because we're a human institution, but they actually work quite well.
Folks, that's the voice of former Seventh Circuit Court of Appeal Judge Diane Wood. She's joined by Judge John Tinder. He both worked on the district courts and the Court of Appeals. They're talking to me today in honor of Constitution Day, and they both were signatories, along with 38 other retired federal court judges, signatories on a letter basically calling to us all. The first line of the letter reads this: since 1787, our Constitution has stood firm. Now so must we all. It is, Judge Tinder, a call to Americans. It's a call to Wisconsinites. It's a call to citizens to stand up for this vague concept of the rule of law. Judge Wood pointed out that when you look at the complete record from district courts to the courts of appeals, to the Supreme Court, what is true in volume and on average over time, I would say, is that judges are not trying to do a partisan job. They don't have predetermined outcomes. They're trying to understand the law correctly, follow precedent, and apply the law to the facts of the case at hand. I agree with that. Here's my question to you, Judge Tinder. Our national dialogue is focused on these big cases of renown before the Supreme Court. And legal scholars of all stripes have commented that the Supreme Court itself seems to have taken on a much more partisan slant. At least that is the public's perception of it. I believe that's leading to some of this erosion of trust that we see in the judiciary and by extension the rule of law. But just as I frequently try to remind folks that when you look at local and state government, it is far less partisan than what you see in the national dialogue, so too in the courts. How do you think we can have a better discussion about the role of courts, the importance of judicial independence, and focus less, or how, is that even possible, on how the Supreme Court in these handful of cases seem to dominate Americans and Wisconsinites' understanding of the court system? There's so much more action going on in the district and the appeals courts.
Well, there certainly is. And so much of it is how it's reported. So many of the cases that you're referring to that get all of the attention are on very preliminary rulings, preliminary injunctions, very early in proceedings. They're not with full records. They're not done after the long process that litigation usually is. Day after day after day, courts all over the country are carefully deciding cases. They're listening to evidence. They're hearing the facts. They're waiting till everything plays out to make a decision. Jurors are given the facts and they make these very difficult decisions that people have to make in cases. And they don't, it's not instantaneous. It doesn't just flash, suddenly you're at the end. I think the public's getting the impression that these things happen overnight because there's so much focus on very small portions of cases that get flashed into the highlight. In 28 years of service in the judiciary, 20 years on the district court, 8 years on the court of appeals, never once did I walk into a case thinking, well, how did the president and his supporters who appointed me want me to decide this case? That's not a factor for any judge. They walk into the case thinking, what's the evidence going to be? How should the law be read for this particular case? And day after day after day, the judges throughout the country, that's how they're deciding cases. They're not going in with a predisposition or a mission assigned by their appointing president. And we need to get people understanding that. I think the way cases are being covered starts with a presumption. Oh, this is a Biden judge. This is a Bush judge, or Bush one or Bush two judge. So he or she will decide that. That's not it at all. So somehow we need to get the message out and get it covered that judges are making independent decisions, and they are basing it on the case and the facts in front of them.
And I'll add my unsolicited two cents to your far more valuable insight, Judge Tinder, and that is absolutely what every American should expect of every single judge, especially those that serve as Article III lifetime appointees. That is actually the mandate for an Article III judge. We see, I think, some focus on the shadow docket because it can seem to instantaneously change substantially folks' rights and how we understand how our government is organized. Folks, if you're just joining us, I've got two incredibly wise and incredibly smart guests with me this afternoon, two former federal Article III judges. Judge John Tinder, appointed twice to the federal bench, once to the district court and then to the Court of Appeals, first by Ronald Reagan and then by George W. Bush in 1992, and former Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals Judge Diane Wood. They're my special guests. We're celebrating a belated Constitution Day. They were co-signatories alongside at least 38 other former Article III federal court judges in calling on all of us as good citizens to understand the importance of an independent judiciary and to turn the dial back. When we come back, I'm going to ask these fabulous guests about the threats, literal threats against the judiciary, and how we can all together start to push back on this extraordinary rhetorical and literal physical attacks on the judiciary. Stay tuned, folks. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.